So the difference between activism and terrorism is violence.
Now these activists, when they have raised a voice, the first thing that is censored is their bank accounts.
So for them, Bitcoin was a great use case scenario. I remember meeting Mario Stefanos, an Eritrean lady who helped refugees or who helped rescue people from pirates, you know? From Africa, a lot of people get onto the boats and then they try to enter into Spain, Portugal. At that time, they get kidnapped or something happens and they are asked to call their loved ones back home to pay them money for their release. They got connected to Mario Stefanos and this lady's phone number became a helpline for such people. And these people she used Bitcoin to rescue them, you know, to move money. I feel activism using Bitcoin is going back to the old days of Silk Road, where they said Bitcoin is just used for drugs and guns. But seeing it from the activism angle,
I feel that is a very strong use case that's there,
and to protect you from the tyranny of governments.
To because everybody should have a voice and everybody should be allowed to exercise their right to speech.
Hello guys, welcome once again to another episode of Bitcoiner Podcast. Today this episode is going to be mostly in English, probably Spanglish. You will understand in a second why. So I'm excited about this episode because this is a very good friend that is coming back to the podcast. And the last time that we spoke, he just visited El Salvador and he was doing this crazy idea that he says one day that, hey, I'm going to travel the world and explore and see if they accept Bitcoin in every single place. So we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to chat about everything in life. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting episode. I don't want to take much time in the intro. So, Paco de la India, bienvenido, hermano.
Namaste, muchísimas gracias por invitarme, man. Hello to everyone. We're going to speak in Spanglish, poco poco, little little. And he has some crazy questions planned out for me. And thank you, Juan. Thank you, Juan, for asking. And I would be really happy to talk about El Salvador yet again, because a lot has changed.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me, man. I look forward to bringing some insights from a traveler's perspective to your show.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So, well, I don't even know where to start. But the last time, I think you were, I don't remind if you were in El Salvador yet or you were in Honduras. I just remind that we had the podcast and you were in the middle of a cafeteria and you just explored El Salvador. So after that, do you remind what happened? Where do you go? So, give us a little of context if you can. Like, do you remind where was in your trip, like beginning, middle? And
wow, there you go. He's caught me off guard. I don't really remember where I was when I was talking to you. But I remember I had finished El Salvador. So that was country number 22. So to all the listeners, I did a journey called Run with Bitcoin to travel 42 countries using Bitcoin, which took over 2 years. And I traveled into Asia, then African 18 countries, and then in the Latin American countries. So I'm pretty sure I was somewhere in the Latin American region by then, or I was finishing South Africa. This is what I remember from that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I finished from there. So I did Salvador, Senegal, Ghana, South Africa. And then I went into Brazil, where there was a prior Bitcoin by Fernando, a great circular economy was being run, which is no more now due to certain reasons. Then officially the Miami conference had happened.
See.
Then the Caribbean countries. And I ended off in Curaçao with that being the last country for my journey. And I will not do it again. Just to let you know.
Yeah.
Not doing it again.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, you said that I was going to ask you interesting questions. And you know that normally I have like a list of questions to ask just in case to my guest. But in your case, this is my list, man.
Let's start with the third one. I like the third one. It's very nice.
So it's good, man, to have you back. And also, I want to ask you, like, how was the trip in general? Let's talk a bit about that. Now that you finished, that you're not in a rush where to think, where was the next step, not thinking about where to sleep, the money, nothing at all. Like, how was the experience in general?
Humans of Bitcoin are kind people, man. Imagine doing this in 2026. I think so. I would be scared for my safety. But when the Bitcoin price is at $20,000, you're not that much worried of your safety. So I was trusting the people I met, and they opened their doors. They shared sats, they shared their blessings, and they shared food. Every country, they were kind people. They were crypto boys too, the crypto bros, who were also receiving me. And they were our true hardcore Bitcoin believers who were also receiving me in all these countries. I think so this journey just proved that, yes, if you need a node, a digital node running, there is a human node also running around, which is why there are a bunch of conferences happening now, because when the nodes come into this mempool, they get to meet each other. Like, you're organizing one conference in 29th and 30th of May in Barcelona. That's mm-hmm. going to invite a lot of different people from different walks of life to come and meet your fellow tribe members. So for me, I was hosting this with a single meetup in every different city. So every city was one meetup happening. So I had hosted about like 125 or 130 meetups throughout my entire journey, which was the magic formula for me to find Bitcoin-friendly places. So yes, humans of Bitcoin are kind. Bitcoin is money, and Bitcoin is an asset. Bitcoin is decentralized. Bitcoin defeats the purpose of caste, color, creed. I, with my skin color, was equal to any other white, brown, black person. Because if you have sats in your wallet, you're equal. Bitcoin fluctuates a fuck lot, okay? So trying to live on a Bitcoin standard, my God, you need some steel platinum balls. I faced a big hurdle from 60,000. When I started the journey, it was at 60, then went to 50, okay. 40, 30, 20, 16,000. And then 16 to 20, 22, 24, 30, 40. But a good area of my journey was between 16 to 4,000. You know, whole year 2023 was at 20, 24,000.
Yeah.
So this is why now you look at these pricings of about 60, 50, they just feel like, yeah, a child's play. Because you have seen 20K. Exactly. But it is not healthy for businesses to save in Bitcoin. It is healthy for businesses to receive in Bitcoin, to use Bitcoin as a tool, which I saw around different parts of the world people do. Yes, they receive money in Bitcoin and immediately off-ramp it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they would charge you an extra premium. I wrote that in the El Salvador chapter. I have written a chapter about it. And I should send that to you, man. I can pick up your brain. Hey, there you go. I'm going to write it down. Send chapter in my thing to you. Yeah. It's about El Salvador. It's a lighthearted. You're going to have fun. But it just speaks about what I felt down there. And I just saw like there were two revolutions happening back in 21. One was Bukele and one was Bitcoin. Bukele provided safety, and Bitcoin provided a tool for you to move money, which some exchanges nowadays use it to spread the gospel of Bitcoin. So these are things that I have written in the book. So to come back to your question, to what I felt with this was, use Bitcoin as a tool, man. There is a community out there. Yes, there are shitcoiners out there. Please, but do not just shun them away. Talk to them. They're also out there trying to make ends meet. They're trying to make a quick buck. And most of the people who have entered into the Bitcoin ecosystem have entered by playing around with shitcoins. So please be courteous to them. And yes, please show them the way that, yes, Bitcoin is a strong asset. So this was my understanding, that if I had just shut myself off and said, no, I'm just going to be hanging out with Bitcoin maxis, I think so most of the some of the countries, I wouldn't have been able to make any progress, or wouldn't have been able to host a meetup or find places that accept Bitcoin. So be kind, because Bitcoiners are kind, and there are some amazing Bitcoiners out there. But as the Bitcoin price keeps going up in value, I believe and I fear that most of them will go into hiding.
Okay. Also, I'm very curious about this, because probably you're the one of the few people that actually have been around the world. So I want to ask you, like, have you seen the different use cases of Bitcoin? Because of course, it's not the same use case in the global south that, you know, in the West. So I think you have like very rich perspective on how Bitcoin is used across the globe. So if you can share a little bit about that, like between Europe, America, Oceania, Asia, and Africa.
I think so. I'll go with you continent-wise. While I was traveling 21 to 2023,
It was the advance of Tether. Tether was picking up, you know. Prior to 2021, everything, anybody who wanted to move around, they used to use Bitcoin as a chain. Then we had the Lightning network was going around. So Lightning was picking up. People were using Lightning for day-to-day payments.
Okay.
But Tether was also picking up. If you see, Tether has gone up to $180 billion plus market cap over the last 4 years, 5 years. So if I start from using different countries, how they were using it, I would go like geographical wise. Let's start from the Asian subcontinent.
Okay.
India has a very strong hawala network, right? So there is already a parallel economy moving around. So for people to adopt Bitcoin was still a faraway thought. But then you move into Cambodia, where there were the country had just come out from communism and from the Pol Pot regime. And the markets were open where Chinese traders were coming in. So there was a lot of Chinese capital moving around in that region. So you could see a lot of use of Bitcoin and Tether, and people were very open to it. But then you come to Sri Lanka, the country was collapsing back then, where the currency had collapsed and the president had gone running, and people had pivoted to use Tether and Bitcoin. But then as you come into Africa, African region, man, there was nothing happening into the ecosystem in that point. There was Bitcoin for Fairness. There was Bitcoin Ekasi. That's it. There were not so many communities that you see right now. There were none of them in Kenya. There were none of them in Tanzania. None of them in Uganda. Mm-hmm. Uganda had just started Gorilla Sats by this chap called Brendan. So things were just new. I was like walking around using Bitcoin. So I realized if I was moving around with dollars in my pocket, my life would have been very easy. Yeah. But my life was also easy because I had Bitcoin that I could convert to M-Pesa, to the mobile money. So people use this mobile money to move sats and money around. Machakura had launched back then where you can use your mobile money to buy sats or convert it, and was launched in about 9 to 13 countries. It was fantastic. Like, but I just saw in between the borders of DR Congo, South Sudan, where there were no proper roads. Dollar is your best friend, okay, when you're crossing such roads. And the biggest challenge I remember was when I was just strip checked on the Congo South Sudanese border, but they did not find any dollars on me. And by God's grace, they did not know what Bitcoin was. So they couldn't enter my Bitcoin wallet. So for these countries, Bitcoin is another way to move money. But the Africans prefer Tether because it is stable. It doesn't fluctuate and it is easy, you know. Most of them I met were traders. They are P2P traders. Hence, you can see the huge volume on exchanges. Then when they come and say Kenya, Nigeria, South Africa, Egypt, they are great P2P traders, you know. So if, let's say, Juan sends me $100 10 times in a day, so that is $1,000, right? And if you multiply that with like 100 times, that's just adding, but that's the same money that's moving, you know. Volume. So Africa has M-Pesa, great. They love to use Tether, but onto the Bitcoin angle, it has grown now. Fantastic. There are so many communities now, man. Like Kenya, if I can see count communities, there are communities now in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Malawi. Malawi is having an Africa Bitcoin conference. Mozambique has a community. Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana, Namibia. Everywhere there's a community now. Nigeria, obviously, Cameroon, Ghana. So yes, for them, it was a new way of, you can look at these communities starting off as a charity, but this is how most of the El Salvador projects also started. Donors ended up using sats to give it away, you know?
Yeah.
So for these people, for in Africa, there's a very nice person from Fedi. Her name is Mary. She did something called saving $1 of Bitcoin every day. And she just did a DCA post on it. And it was received beautifully by the community, where you just bought $1 of Bitcoin every day, which, and on the, in a cumulative way, it gives you better returns. But when you're trying to make ends meet and you do not have money to save, saving is a challenge. You know?
Exactly.
Beer is cheaper than saving sats. $1 of beer, you'll have fun. You know, YOLO. So now that's Africa. But in the Latin American region, people had much more saving capacity. That's where the community started. Salvador, Costa Rica, Guatemala with the communities. Argentina, I did not visit. I did not visit Argentina during my trip.
Okay.
And I was sent back from the airport because I did not have a visa. So they sent me back.
I thought
it is like Africa, you know, I can just slip something and get into the country, but no.
They said nah.
Javier Milei was like, no, señor, we won't entertain your nonsense. I want to add something here. So I saw use cases in different places. You know, you do not need 100 people to use Bitcoin. You can have a small community like Bitcoin Ekasi. They just had 10 or 13 people using Bitcoin. I really liked one use case that I saw in Ghana was human rights activists. Now, these are the people. So the difference between activism and terrorism is violence. Now, these activists, when they have raise a voice, the first thing that is censored is their bank accounts. So for them, Bitcoin was a great use case scenario. I remember meeting Mario Stefanos, an Eritrean lady who helped refugees or who helped rescue people from pirates, you know, from Africa. A lot of people get onto the boats and then they try to enter into Spain, Portugal. At that time, they get kidnapped or something happens. And they are asked to call their loved ones back home to pay them money for their release. They got connected to Mario Stefanos, and this lady's phone number became a helpline for such people. And these people were, she used Bitcoin to rescue them, you know, to move money. I feel activism using Bitcoin is going back to the old days of Silk Road, where they said Bitcoin is just used for drugs and guns. But seeing it from the activism angle, I feel that's a very strong use case that's there. And to protect you from the tyranny of governments, to, because everybody should have a voice and everybody should be allowed to exercise their right to speech. Yeah, how do you that's from me. It's a long one.
Yeah, I know. And still, and we just have talked about Africa and Latin America. But I'm curious, like at some point, I think that you struggle because, you know, there are certain regions that are really restricted with Bitcoin. Like I told you, in my personal case of Nepal, and you know why, that I ask you how they do it. But I don't know if you enter to countries that are really restricted with Bitcoin, that how do you manage to do it, if so?
There is always a community. Twitter and Telegram were great assets. I entered into a country called Qatar. Bitcoin was illegal back then. But thanks to my Twitter and Instagram post, I got to meet somebody who added me to a local WhatsApp group where they were trading, you know, P2P traders. So we got together and we had a nice meetup at a bar in a hotel, and one of them got me a cake called the Bitcoin cake. So it was luck. It was just like finding people there. But then your luck runs out also in other countries like Haiti. Now in Haiti, it wasn't illegal, but I did not speak French. So finding a community was like, oh my God, man. And Haiti was in trouble, man, back then. You know, the gangs controlled the city for in Port-au-Prince, the capital city. So in such countries, I had faced issue, or I would say in Mozambique, I did not speak well Portuguese also. So I wasn't, I did not find communities. Sometimes I used to be stuck and I used to be like, okay, move on to the next city, you know, accept it as a defeat and move on. There are such countries. Ah, oh, dude, there's this country, Cameroon. I went to a restaurant. We were chit-chatting. The restaurant guy was like, yeah, I accept crypto too, but I cannot do it on camera because I will get caught. And I'm like, why do you say that? He's like, here, the police will stop you. They will check your phone. And if they find a crypto app on you, gone. They will take your money. They will harass you and you will face troubles. So in Cameroon, people were really a bit, you know, reserved on that end. But then back then there was a community popping up called Bitcoin Mountain in Mount Cameroon, on the western side, you know, and that community did not pop up. But while I went there, I was able to use Bitcoin with them. But as soon as you went to Yaounde or Douala, the capital cities, financial capital or the city capital, people were a little, you know, reserved. We hosted good, successful meetups there, but they were reserved to come on camera. They were. So there are challenges. People are still scared. I think so in India also, for that matter, it would be the similar situation. Like, yes, it all exists under the hood, but people are still reserved on it. It's a challenge, man. It's your luck.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good to know. Yeah, because you never know. So I was asking like how you do it, because actually that's part of the challenge of your trip, right? To see if actually every country accepts Bitcoin or not.
Yeah, man. It's like your Twitter and Telegram. It's like how strong your network is.
Okay, that's good.
And how good your luck is while you're posting. Like today morning, I did a post at Indian Standard Time, 10 a.m. Zero likes. Okay. But if you do, but if you do it like now, at this time we are talking, there is a greater audience that would respond to it. So you have to be constantly aware, constantly hosting a meetup, constantly. There is no break for the brave. You got to keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. It can get tiring and tiring and tiring and tiring. So keep pushing, man. There is no other solution to proof of work apart from working.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing with the podcast, I would say. Like every week we're releasing a new episode because, we need to show up the use case. Well, you know that in this podcast come people from everywhere. So, there's a lot of work, of course, for both. For me as a host and you as a guest, of course.
Yeah, but... Yep, yeah. I agree with you.
Cuando dejas tus activos digitales en un exchange o en custodia de alguien más, te expones a riesgos de terceros no deseados. A diferencia del sistema bancario tradicional, Bitcoin te permite tomar el control total de tus fondos utilizando tus propias claves privadas. Esto te permite ser soberano y esencialmente tu propio banco. Al tomar el control de tus Bitcoin, puedes evitar riesgos innecesarios de terceros. Almacenar tus Bitcoin en custodia de terceros como los exchanges puede exponerte a ataques de actores malintencionados, gobiernos o estafadores que lo único que quieren es apoderarse de tu dinero. Las billeteras de hardware aumentan la seguridad de tu billetera porque tus claves privadas se almacenan en un dispositivo especializado que no está siempre conectado al internet. Como te he dicho antes, mantener tus claves almacenadas en un dispositivo en línea puede exponerte a factores adicionales de ataque, por lo que se recomienda usar una billetera de hardware al almacenar grandes cantidades de Bitcoin durante largos periodos de tiempo. Jade es una billetera de hardware no custodial para Bitcoins y Liquid, que ofrece opciones de firma simple y firmas múltiples. Yo personalmente lo utilizo para almacenar mis bitcoins, ya que me siento mucho más seguro manteniendo mis bitcoins en una billetera fría que en una almacenada, por ejemplo, en mi teléfono. Si estás pensando en adquirir uno para ti, no olvides utilizar el código de descuento de nuestro show, BitCornerPodcast. De esta forma estarás apoyando directamente el show y además obtendrás un 10% de descuento para la compra de tu billetera fría. This podcast is brought to you by Bull Bitcoin, the most trusted Bitcoin-only exchange built by Bitcoiners or Bitcoiners who give a damn about sovereignty, not altcoins, no custody, just pure Bitcoin straight to your wallet. Get your own virtual event so banks can spy on your Bitcoin activity. Buy Bitcoin instantly or send bank transfer to Canada, Europe, Mexico, and Argentina in a snap for pennies. Ditch the banks, screw the shady remittances apps. Head to boldbitcoin.com, use the code BitCornerPodcast, and start stacking sats in the right way, or send money home cheap and fast. Bold Bitcoin. Own your money, destroy fear. So you talk about Latin America and Africa. What about Europe and what is the other one? Asia and Oceania, or Australia.
Man, I think so.
For you, it's Australia or Oceania? I'm really curious.
Oceania for okay. me. Those parts. Polynesia and all those countries. I haven't been there. It was a French part Polynesia. Of my plan to go there.
Okay.
But the flight tickets were freaking expensive. I did not go that far. So I will not comment on them. Okay. I remember back then there was somebody from Toga Island or somebody he was preaching for Bitcoin, but he disappeared. St. Kitts and Nevis in the Caribbean Islands. Now I come to Caribbean Islands. St. Kitts and Nevis was going for Bitcoin Cash, but I think so that also didn't fall through. Now to speak about the United States of America, I just did Miami and Puerto Rico. Miami was for the conference and Puerto Rico was to catch my next flight.
Okay.
So Puerto Rico, I would comment on Puerto Rico, man. It is a tax haven for Americans. If you move there, I do not know if the laws have changed, but back then if you move there and if you buy a residential property within the first 2 or 3 years, you don't have to pay any tax. It's 0%. You know, US is 30%. These people, lot of crypto boys shifted there. They call it, some people called it gentrification happening in the downtown, old town area of San Juan.
See,
but there are a lot of Bitcoiners there. There are a lot of crypto bros there. For most of these people, it may not be it is a store of value for such people. I would see that. And I would say, and for Europe, my God, man, I got to see this in Prague when I visited Prague and Berlin in 24. I realized the highest concentration of Bitcoiners in this part of the world is in Prague and Berlin. Prague, Berlin, Slovakia, Czech Republic, Switzerland, Austria. Like that part of it has a huge concentration of Bitcoiners and old school people who believe in this technology from early days. Cypherpunks, privacy bros, everything. There's a huge concentration right there. This is what Prague keeps to tries to get them into their conference. So I believe for most of them, it was a store of value. But I think so they are right now the front movers also in using it as money. But I do not know how many people use it as money, man. I know Jack Dorsey's Cash App went on saying like, voila, $10 million for it.
Yeah.
Great.
That's true. Recently.
So it's great. Like there is Fawcett came back on an Easter Sunday, but how many people are using it? But, you know, it's like customer acquisition, you know, slowly and gradually, slowly, it will open their eyes to using this network before Tether and USDC take over.
Yeah. We will see. I think it's little by little. I mean, even in my countries, the proof, right, that they, well, in our case, we did it in both cases, like from the grassroots, but also from the government. So yeah, and that's why we have very independent project, but also from the government project. And still, it's a working process. I mean, yeah, we're a Bitcoin country, but still people need to learn about Bitcoin. And yeah, in the case of El Salvador, that's why we're focused on the next generations of the kids. Actually, in the, you know, in the school curriculum system, they have added Bitcoin and AI. So those kids will end the school learning about this. But yeah, that's in our cases. So in other countries, we will see, because it has a lot of use cases, right? Monetary value or exchange, or we will see how it goes. What else I want to ask you? Before I forget, this is important. We are almost in the middle of the pod. I didn't tell you last time. I didn't have this game in the podcast, but now I have this game. So
all right, let's go.
Yeah. So now it's 3 years of doing this, so I have improved a little bit. So now
okay,
my previous
I'm excited.
Guest, yeah, my previous guest have a question for my next guest. So in your case, it's very particular.
Pues Paco, que me gustaría saber qué es lo que más te ha sorprendido en tus viajes cuando has usado Bitcoin, qué es lo que más te ha sorprendido. Reacciones de la gente, utilidad, o sea, ¿qué cosas has encontrado que a lo mejor alguien que no ha tenido tu experiencia, pues no se la ha encontrado?
¿Qué es el mejor experiencia that only I have experienced that others wouldn't have experienced? There are so many experiences.
The beauty of post-production.
So many experiences. My journey went from being a fanatic, being crazy, to being a realist, to being a pilgrim. So I went through a whole cycle. I'm like, wow, Bitcoin is the answer for the world. To like, fuck, is there any other way? People don't have savings. Hyper-Bitcoinization is 25 years away. And to finally being a pilgrim, to visiting Bitcoin circular economies in Honduras, Prospera, in Salvador, in Guatemala. So I went through a whole circle, okay? So my experience in all three were also different. For me, the fun experience I want everyone to know is you will be called an anti-national if you speak shit about your government, because you're doing separation of state and money. Eso es peor. Y si eres en tu propio país, tú vas a ser más peor. Porque alguien me dijo que, fuck, you are an anti-national. Estás hablando mal sobre mi país, India. And I was like, no estoy hablando mal. Solo estoy contando historias y estadísticos. Que tu rupee, Indian rupee, es malo. Pero no. So when I was called an anti-national, I was scared for my life. I was shit scared. This was my day number 21. I was like, fuck.
Wow.
I need to be careful with my words. I cannot just keep saying shit, you know, cannot challenge. Be careful, because people listening to you are emotional about their country. Don't take their country away from them. They will panic. So that is one experience. It was, so be careful of that. You will be called for that. Second experience, I would say, is definitely when I was mugged in South Africa, Johannesburg. One day this happened out of 6 months. All right. But I'm giving you a story. So do not see that all 6 months were bad. Fantastic days. But I'm giving you this experience. It's like when I was mugged, they took my phone away and they took my money away. But I had my private keys to recover my wallet on my new phone. So that was a practical experience of a $5 wrench attack.
Wow.
And I would like to thank the community, the Bitcoin community. I did a post and they did a crowdfund for me and they got me a new phone in like 2 hours, man. So
that's cool.
Fantastic, fantastic community and fantastic experience. But I had great experience. I celebrated New Year's in Bitcoin Ekasi. So I'm telling you, this is happening in Johannesburg, downtown, tall buildings. I'm getting mugged. But just a month later, I'm staying in Bitcoin Ekasi. Ekasi means a township. Some people call it slums. But in the township, I was living using Bitcoin and safe. No problem. Celebrated New Year's there. Painted a shack. Went running. Swimming in the beach. All wonderful. Nothing happened. Never worried about my safety. People using Bitcoin. The people who they say, oh, these are the people, they're going to attack you. But no, they were kind. So I think so. People are kind there. So this is one experience from that part of the world. And then one experience I would definitely give you is Nostr experience that I had in Costa Rica, where I got to meet all the developers. Nostr Rica was hosted. And when I met all these developers in real life, and you know, I was like, I could touch them. And I was just like, whoa.
Don't touch
people. These are humans. These are humans. I can touch them before they go into hiding. I was like, these are the people who created Bitcoin. These are the people who are creating Nostr. And I was like, okay, I am at the spark of revolution. Miracle is going to happen. Wow. Yeah. You know, it was a great experience where I really felt like, yes, the people who are running Bitcoin are humans. The people who are using Bitcoin are humans. The people
they're real,
who,
man.
They're real. They're real. It was beautiful, man. So I think so these three experiences just made me feel that I have found a community for life. I can run far away from you all, but I will come back to you all. I think so, because we believe in the same thing and we are watching how slowly and gradually the financial tyranny is taking over people. I'm gonna add definitely the activist angle, which I have covered before, for your answer. Okay. Activists using Bitcoin is one of the greatest use cases out there in today's world, where we talk about hodl, hodl, hodl. Even though 70% of coins are still hodled, 70-75% of the coins are still hodled, but and 5-10% is still moving around. But I feel the activism use case, when I saw that activist use case, I really felt a fire burn within me, saying like, wow, there are people who can use Bitcoin. And this is the reason why you need Bitcoin. And fuck that shit. Recently, whatever happened in Dubai and whatever happened in Dubai, I know a couple of my friends who went running back to Bitcoin. They used to call Bitcoin as Dubai a safe haven, but they went running back to Bitcoin. So it was for such times Bitcoin was made, because you cannot trust. I do not know if you can trust your core developers now. That's a new drama going around, which I have no much idea about. I just feel like a lot of new changes are coming in. Anyways, that's my answer. Thank you.
Okay. No, thanks to you. I love it. Yeah. Right. No, wow. Cool experience then. Yeah, you see, that's the beauty, because the thing is that you have been traveling around your love. So yeah, you have this unique experience and people are like, wow.
Yeah.
They want to know about this. Ready for the second one? Yeah. No, this is Marlene. This is a woman.
Marlene. Okay,
so.
Pues yo no sé, yo le preguntaría quién eres. ¿Quién eres? O sea, ¿quién eres, Paco de la India? ¿Y por qué empezaste a hacer? O sea, este viaje, tú realmente ya empezaste con la idea de voy a viajar un año. Ah, bueno, igual lleva más de un año, no lo sé. ¿Voy a viajar solo con Bitcoin? O sea, ¿tu idea ya nació así? ¿O tú empezaste, el tipo igual empezó a viajar y en el camino te encontraste con Bitcoin y entonces cambiaste un poco tu... el propósito de tu viaje y dijiste, ostras, pues voy a intentar hacer un viaje, yo que sé, dar la vuelta al mundo usando Bitcoin. O sea, ¿cómo fue un poco? Igual son dos preguntas en una, pero Pero bueno, yo ahora si lo tuviese delante le preguntaría esto, porque me da curiosidad.
That's why I didn't do a refreshment at the beginning of the episode, like, because I knew
Okay.
that Marlene was going to ask this.
Okay, two questions she's asked me. She's like, how did I start this journey? And what was the second one?
Who are you?
All right, Marlene. Namaste. Me voy a intentar explicar eso en español todo. All right.
Dale.
Namaste. Yo me llamo Paco y soy de la India. Yo recibí ese nombre gracias a un boludo quien me regaló ese nombre durante el batalla de vino en Aro en 2014. Por eso yo me llamo Paco, porque mi nombre es Hitesh, y como H es en silencio, y IT sería muy difícil para él. Y él me dijo que vamos a boliche y por esta noche tú vas a llamar Paco, Paco de la India. Entonces, eso es Paco de la India. Desde 2015 a 2018, yo me fui como un mochilero tirando a dedo, viajando a toda Latinoamérica, desde México hasta Ushuaia. Y me volví a mi país, a India, dando a hacer algo cosas. Y en 2020 empecé con un canal, se llama Paco de la India, en YouTube. Y en 2021, cuando yo no tenía dinero, no tenía trabajo, no sabía qué voy a hacer, sería una luna llena, un amigo me llamó con esta idea que dijo que, Paco, tú tienes que viajar el mundo solo usando Bitcoin. Y la puta no hay idea qué es Bitcoin, lo le llamé. Le explico qué es Bitcoin y me dijo que eso es el mejor community en el mundo y ellos te van a ayudar. Y ya, empecé. Escuché esa idea en 24 de agosto en 2021 y empecé a viajar en menos de un mes, en 17, y empecé a viajar. Y me fui viajando 42 países usando Bitcoin. La idea sería que en cada país yo me voy a usar Bitcoin para comer, para vivir, para beber, para dormir, para viaje, para bus, para todo cosa. Empecé súper bien en primer 100 días atrás en Asia, pero en África tenía muchos problemas. Usé M-Pesa, pero podía hacer P2P en cualquier país de África. Y en Latinoamérica terminé mi viaje usando Bitcoin en los circular economies. Y mi último país sería Curazao. Y ahí yo usé mi Bitcoin última vez. El viaje se duró 800 días, más de 2 años. Y todo eso podía posible porque hay esto super awesome community, se llama Bitcoin Community, que me ayudó durante el viaje a través de sus bendiciones y a través de tus sats. So, thanks to all this, I was able to do this. Uf,
nice.
Ya, eso es hoy. Okay.
Muy bien tu español, ¿eh? No lo has perdido.
All right, gracias.
Y a todo esto, Marlene, si estás escuchando, he invitado a Paco porque está escribiendo un libro. So, he's writing a book about his journey.
Sí, Marlene está escribiendo un libro sobre eso. Y esto es en inglés.
No, you. Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the goal. That's why Paco is coming back. And because we like to catch up from time to time. So this
yes,
was the perfect
please.
Excuse. And the last one is the last one that you're going to see. Actually, it's
okay.
Albert.
I'm going to see him. Okay.
Pues yo le diría, ¿en qué momento del viaje, si es que ha habido alguno, has tenido problemas para usar Bitcoin? Si has tenido algún problema, es decir, si ha sido un impedimento el viajar solo con Bitcoin en algún momento, ¿y cuál ha sido? Ese.
When you don't speak Portuguese, francés, ya no hay idioma, no lo sabes, y ahí te vas a tener muchos problemas. Y yo tenía esos problemas durante los países en África y uno en Latinoamérica. Por ejemplo, en Brasil se hablan portuñol. No portuñol, portugués. Fala portugués.
Portuñol es de
no falo. No falo portugués, ¿verdad? So, for me, the challenge, no falo portugués, pero me gusta caperinas, you know? So, that's all is nice, because Portuguese. And what's it, French? Fuck, man, no français.
Tu ne parles français?
No parle. You parle français porque you have dame, mademoiselle.
She's private, we just say. She's gonna be watching this episode. She's like, guys.
Amiga, mademoiselle, amiga, francés, you know? Ami.
Yeah. Shout out
so
to you.
So I think so the biggest
challenge I want to say here was, I would say, was in a country where there are no roads, where there is no electricity. For you, let me give you Central African Republic. For you, amigo. Okay. Central African Republic dijo que Bitcoin is legal tender in 2022. Con todo hope, you know, and fuerza a llegue este país. Pero en ese país no tenía proper rutas de tarmac. No tenía electricidad en los pueblos, en los pequeños ciudades. Y cuando llegué a Bangui, el capital, tampoco tenía electricidad. Tenía mucho fuerza de UN, Russian soldiers, French soldiers. Nobody was using Bitcoin because nobody had any knowledge, any experience about Bitcoin. And for me, in a country that was Bitcoin legal tender and no hablo francés, de puta madre, you know, big problem for my life existence. Still, I managed to talk to people. I remember this one instance, my friend. Ki, por ejemplo, I encontré, what was the guy's name? I forget. A friend I met in a meetup, he speaks English. So he took me to his friend's place, una tienda. El su amigo tenía una tienda y se vendía chocolate. Tú tomo 1 hour of explication of Bitcoin in English and my friend translating in Francis.
No.
For after 1 hour, I was able to buy some mango on Bitcoin.
Yeah,
but I was like, yeah, it took me 1 hour of explanation and it was a pain. But the next time I went to his second friend who has a medical shop, he understood Bitcoin because he was a business trader. He used to buy and sell medical goods. So he bought about $500 worth of Bitcoin from me and I gave him Bitcoin and he gave me $500 bills, $100 bills. But when a country says Bitcoin is a legal tender, the country has different motives because education does not start so immediately and people are really scared to adapt to something new. So that was my big challenge to speak in that country. Gracias for those questions, Paco. Everyone. Yes.
No, thanks to you. And by the end of the show, you'll have the opportunity to make the question for my next guest. So yeah. Yes. Talking about orange peeling, actually, that's one question that I had in mind. What do you think? Is there a effective way to orange peel people, or it actually really depends on the context or who are you talking to? Or there's like a, you said, like this is the easiest way to people understand Bitcoin.
Effective way to orange peeling.
Or to understand Bitcoin.
No, do not try to explain Bitcoin. You will go bald.
Okay.
Do not try to explain Bitcoin. Let the sats flow. You have a Lightning wallet, set up a wallet of Satoshi or a Blink wallet and start giving sats to your 10 people. Let's say your butcher, your laundryman, your favorite restaurant, your barber, your bartender. These 10 people, keep giving them tips, you know, small tips, $1, half a dollar, $2, $3. Just keep them giving.
Like a tip.
Slowly.
Like a tip.
Yeah, like a tip. Yeah, just keep giving them. Or to your loved ones, to your brother, to your father. Let them hold Bitcoin for 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. And once they feel it, they will walk into the rabbit hole. That's my advice to anybody who wants to do this. Don't try explaining, man. I used to have great night outs. I used to have great bar conversations. I used to be a fan, awesome, on the board. But then you started talking about Bit and you started pushing people away. Started pushing beautiful mademoiselles away. So please don't start talking about that on a drunk unless you're good friends, but still, like, you know, give them. Let the sats flow, man. Let you also feel good about it. You say, like, yeah, sure, a dollar doesn't hurt anyone. And you can anytime buy more and replace your sat. Give them that opportunity of that ownership that they own something and let them come to you. You can take a horse to the water, but the horse has to drink the water. So give them the water of sats. Good luck. Spray and pray, my dear friend. But you do not need to have 100 people to use Bitcoin. Just your 10 people. That's enough. Your 10 people. Move the sats between you guys. That is called a circular economy. That's it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with that. For me also, I think the best way that I learn how to do it is just giving sats. So I agree. Yeah, once you start explaining, it's like, I don't get it. So, So yeah, with that, it's okay. Let's talk a little bit about your book. How are you with that, man? Are you finishing it? And When are you plans to launch it? Do you have date? I'm sorry, I'm just making a lot of questions. But yeah, do you have plans after the book?
Man, oh, and let me just put this thing on. Just a minute. All right, dude. So you have asked a lot of questions. Okay. Let's go one by one.
Yeah.
My book, by God's grace. Yeah, by God's grace, I am standing on page number 160 of the book, which is at 220. So another 80 pages or 230, another 80-200 pages, 80 pages to go more. So about 240 pages that the entire book is. I am working with an editor. We were working very hardcore for the last 4 months, and we were able to understand the tone, the pace, the stories to be covered, because sometimes Bitcoin stories are really boring, okay? Same pain. There's too much pain in everything, you know? The government is doing this to you. The government is doing that to you. The central bank is doing that to you. So I had to chill out a story a little bit. My friend Kashyap, we were working together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the progress. I see this book to be done in the next 6 months, after which I am hoping to close a deal with some Indian publishers. That's the main goal. And so you can see the book coming out in December to March of 2027. I wanted the book to be done by July, August, but due to unforeseen circumstances, for example, the war, a dirty war that happened in my backyard in Dubai area, like it has affected people in various ways. But yeah, so that's my book, a story. I am grateful that I got this opportunity to write this book. It is going to entertain you. The purpose is there for you to have fun. The book doesn't start in 1971, or not does it go into the economics. And we touch on geopolitical angles. We touch on Bitcoin angle, and we touch on traveling angle, and we touch on what a traveler does on the road. So trying to entertain people with short snack bites. Each chapter is 2 to 3 pages. Mm. And we are trying to give you have fun. Like, not going into a lot of theoretical, because there are amazing books out there. You can start from the Bitcoin Standard, or go to the Big Print, or to the Broken Money, or to That's another 100 books. Yeah, there you go. You have it. There we go. Yeah. There are plenty of them out there. So My book is just going to keep you have fun. It's going to be a very lighthearted book where you can recommend to your friend without worrying that, God, without worrying the other person with a lot of plethora of information. So that's my book story to you. The tentative title is called Proof of Work as of now. And it does take a lot of work, guys. If you want to write a book, please see that you have enough time and enough money. And passion itself will not help you with it. You need to have these three things. Otherwise, you would just run out and you will exhaust yourself and creative process. And if fucking English is your second language, Jesus, it is more difficult. I mean, yeah, it's different language, you know. So it's going to be a challenge for you to write a book. But if you want to write, please start writing one page a day to see how it is there. And there is wonderful AI out there. Use its help. I used its help and I felt super confident, like, fuck yes, I'm going to get the book in 6 months. But bullshit. AI will only help you in framing of sentences. It will not help you with the structuring and everything. And it is easily catchable because AI uses a lot of fluff words where it is the words do not add any value to conversation. For example, when you say it is so interesting, for example, it does not add thing to it. It just says like, yeah, it's interesting. It's like an exclamation. Interesting. So use AI to get advices on what sentences you want, but please use your own intelligence to write your book. Otherwise, the book will not be worthy enough, because once a reader knows it's AI, you lose the reader. So that is what has been a challenge for me, to come out of that bubble, to have a human element to it, and to make it really what really entertain you and not to pain you. You know, like the first half of the book is a lot of pain, but then the second half of the book is like fun. Bitcoin needs to be fun. Apple became great around the world because it added colors to their life. You know, they gave colors to their Macs, to their iPhones, to everything. So I'm bringing that colors. Coming from India, we have a festival called Holi, the land of colors. So I'm trying to bring those colors to you.
Oh, nice.
through English language. So ojalá que ustedes van a disfrutar ese libro and it ignites some little spark within you.
We need those kind of books, man. I was just thinking that, yeah. Actually, we have most of them, 90% of them are very technical and political ones,
yes,
or economic ones. But we need more,
yes,
like the human touch of Bitcoin and the fun part. So I'm glad that you're doing this. I think the community will feel it refreshing. That is just too serious. Yeah.
I hope so. I really hope so. They have
and
fun.
You're like,
I really hope so.
Yeah, they will, of course. And right now, while you are writing it, you're like an hermit, like like in solitude, just writing with you. You know, they say
that. No. It's true. It's partially true. Partially. The first year and a half, yes, I was trying to be an hermit. You know, me with this energy, meeting people, talking, having fun, trying to contain myself and to be with myself and to write. It's a good start. But my dear friend, you need someone's help. You need a partner with whom you can do. So it's good to have a very good editor to work with who listens to you and who entertains your thoughts. So for the past 6 months, now that I'm back in the Himalayan mountains, I am back. I would show you if we had a call during daytime that how beautiful it is. I am back now. But for the last 6 months, I was at my editor's house. So we were working together and we were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, because there were some certain stories that were re-repeating, you know, re-repeating. And it gets boring to the reader also. It should always be something new that gives you that excitement, that feeling, and shouldn't bore the person. So I did that. So I did the first 18 months, I was a hermit. Then the 6 months, I was with my editor. And now I'm back in here where we'll be working digitally to finish the book off and get it to the audience by the end of the year, God willing.
That's good. Hopefully, yes. Yeah, I was just asking you because they say that, yeah, when you're writing a book, you should be like an hermit and go in solitude. And the process will be, you need to be boring so the ideas flow into your mind. So I'm glad that you're so
true.
Nice. Okay, we're going to start wrapping up because we have more than an hour.
Done. Awesome.
Yes. But you know that this is El Salvador's Bitcoin podcast. So it's been a while since we talked publicly because we have talked privately. So what do you think about El Salvador now? Have you changed your thoughts or what you have seen? Contrast, lessons, I don't know. Anything that you want to share about my country?
Man.
You can be
man.
Honest.
The freest, it's a freest is a very bad word as you see English is there. But the easiest marketing propaganda or a marketing team is a team of Bitcoiners. And Bitcoiners rallied behind El Salvador, gave them all the push they needed because the Bitcoin community came in all of support. And Mr. Bukele did what it was necessary, coming under the pressure of IMF and rolling back on calling Bitcoin a legal tender. He did what was necessary at that given moment. But I just feel that if Mr. Bukele does not push Bitcoin education over the next 4 years, then I would call this man a man who used Bitcoin to gain popularity. That's it.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
We will see how it develops. I know that we have several projects, I mean, independently and with the government. But again, time and proof of work, it's
please.
Everything. So.
Please, where are the volcano bonds? Where is the Bitcoin city? Please,
uh-huh.
Let's not go
exactly
into proof of work.
Yeah, no, exactly. On this, yeah. Yeah, one thing that I want to say is that it is important to, in these cases, to support, you know, all the projects. I'm not just talking about the government ones. I'm talking about the grassroots
yeah.
efforts, like
yes.
independent ones.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
in this case, it shouldn't be competitions of these things. Should
collaboration.
Be from. Exactly.
Should be collaboration.
That's the only way. We're pushing to the same things. Yeah. But I agree. There are some things that we need to know.
If Mr. Bukele, si esto vas a escuchar, ustedes tienen que tener una fund para Bitcoin, para grassroots, whatever is happening in your country. You need to have your own fund from the government to support Bitcoin educational initiatives in your own country, funded by the Salvadorian government for the betterment of Salvadorian people, because Salvador now has peace, it has security, it has safety, it is climbing the Maslow's hierarchy of law
there is brain gain happening in your countries, Mr. President. You do need to have your own fund to support your own people, right? Thank you. Good luck and namaste to you.
I love it. I love it. And one night of pupusas we can exchange.
Oh, a whole day of pupusas then, perhaps.
That would be nice.
Yeah, man.
All right, Paco. I think we have it. I don't know. Do you want to add something else? As you know, in my list, well, I was texting some stuff.
I helped you fill that up, man. I have to ask the question for the next person, right?
Yeah, but that's when we finish the show. So it's off camera.
Okay, that's later.
But anything that you want to add?
I just want to add, like, hey guys, I would be running a campaign on my Geyser Fund to raise funds for the book. There are various ways you can support me. You can buy a paperback, a hardcover, or get your name in the acknowledgement section, or buy a leather cover, or be a patron. I need a patron for me to cover the last bit of this book. Writing is not easy and giving sats is also not easy. So do share your blessings. And if you have some free sats, please do share them too. And if not, I will see you on the road and we'll have a beer to it. So thank you for your blessings and have a wonderful day to everyone. That's all. Namaste.
Okay, yeah. Man. That's nice. No, thank you for taking the time to do the podcast. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. You know that.
Gracias, Juan.
Yeah, so... I think that's it for today. We have 1 hour of episode, and guys, if I'm not mistaken with the timing, see you in Barcelona Cypher conference. So next time that you see this, it will be on site. So if you come, see you there. You know that there's a trend of quantum computing, not right now, but it will be in the future. So of course, Bitcoin is software, and software is always going to be updated. So that's not the point. But what should we do with the Bitcoin of Satoshi? What should we do with his wallet? Should we move the Bitcoin to transfer to a quantum resistant wallet, like a consensus, or should we leave it there?
Leave it, man.
I'm not.
Leave it.
Why?
Why? Yeah, you're going to ask me why for that, right? Man, it's not yours for taking. Okay? It's not yours for taking. You did not create it. And for a reason, it's a million coins stacked away. It's good to debate over it and do not bring stupid changes straight away. And say, like, this thing is good, this thing is good. What happened with Taproot? What happened with Ordinals? Now, what are we doing with BIP110? Ran with a champagne bottle, now running to find where the cock entered up our... You see, like, so I just feel like you shouldn't... It's feeling, all right? I am taking this... Yeah, I'm just taking it on my feeling things. I'm not taking it on basis of my research. So please take everything with a grain of salt. I just believe like you should debate over this over for the next 3 years, next 5 years. You do not take a decision in do not act in haste and repent in leisure, my dear friends. Do not do that. Talk about it. Debate over it. And those coins have been sitting there for 17 years. Those coins will be sitting there for another 10 years too. But you just come down to bring one change that can jeopardize everyone. Quantum. They said, my father told me petrol was going to get over in 1980s. There's fucking petrol till 2026. All right. So it's a fear. Then there is a quantum fear now. Okay, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Oh, Jesus, God, man. Listen, there is a lot of fear in this world we live in, man. Enough of this fear, but debate over it, talk over it, have conversations. It should have a long conversation because people's mind, people's thought processes evolve. So have a long one. I think so. We should have a timeline of 4 years from now until 2028 or 2032, where we make a decision on what to do. Because you're coming in and you're trying to protect someone by taking someone's coins. Isn't it new kind of colonization?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's my 2 cents on that.
Okay. Yeah. So in my end, it's also every time I'm changing my opinion, but for me right now it's property right. So yeah. So guys, lesson of this, buy Paco books in 6 months and have fun with Bitcoin.